thanks to you once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you in that name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our Master, our Redeemer, the one over it all. And in His name, in that wonderful name, I greet you. Because you know what? It's the name of good news. It's the name of our salvation. Jesus, the actual name was Yahushua, God's salvation, translated. And so in the Hebrew, so when Jesus was walking around and everybody was referring to him, they said, hey, look, there goes Yahushua. There goes God's salvation. When Jesus is walking on the earth, Yahushua has come to town. God's salvation has come to town. You know, there's power in that name. It is the name that's above every other name. So, you know, in the midst of that too, it's the Spirit of God that's in, and the power of God that's in the name. You know, a buddy of mine one time was talking about the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the blood is in the Spirit. And the life of the Spirit is in the name. So, you know, you dig through a little bit from this finite reality that we live in this very base world where light and dark exist simultaneously, but you keep going through. And you go from the flesh, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. You take the blood out of somebody, and that flesh dies. So the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's why so often in all of these different rites, different rituals, different things that people do around the world, they need to shed blood. Why? Because there's life in the blood. They need and in order for the ritual to have power, they have to have blood. You know, even scriptures, that's on the light side too. Even Hebrews 9 says that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So without life being given, your sins cannot be forgiven. That's why the blood of Jesus was so powerful. Because the blood of Jesus, the life of the pure, spotless Lamb of God, the life of the one who was without sin, the life of the living God was given for your redemption. And the sacrifice was sufficient. The price paid was sufficient. See, that's what's important to understand, is that the price that was paid was adequate. You know, a lot of people, I mean, you know, in this life and in this world, there's a lot of times when people want to buy something, but they don't have enough money to buy it. They want to buy something, but they can't afford it. They can't afford it because the price is beyond their reach. So therefore, instead of driving a luxury car, they'll drive a regular car. Instead of driving a regular car, they'll drive a motorcycle. Instead of driving a motorcycle, they'll take the bus. Why? Because though they may desire something greater, they have to also work within what it is that they can afford, what it is that they can pay for, what it is that they have the ability and the means to actually settle. So when you understand that, you also understand the nature of your situation, which was that you, no matter how much you ever had in the bank, you could never pay the price for your sins. No matter how many good works you did, those were not sufficient to erase the debt that you owed, and that I owe. We all did. You know, there's all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. See, that's why, too, there's no perfect people in this world. You know, you can dress people up in robes, give them collars, give them huge titles. They're still men. They're still women. They're still fallen flesh that needed to be redeemed. And it's only the Spirit of God in us that makes us anything different than we would be apart from Him. It is only your yielding to His Holy Spirit that makes a change. You know, it is the Spirit of the living God that actually makes the change in you. You know, without His Spirit in you, there's nothing that distinguishes you from the people around you. You know, Jesus, he was a living embodiment of that. You know, when think about Moses. You know, when Moses was bringing the people out of captivity and going to lead them into the promised land, and God was ticked off with them. You know, he was ticked off with them over what had happened. And he was ticked off with them over what had happened. And, you know, he wanted to get some things. He didn't want to be in that situation where he was taking them and carrying them through, and then they would make him so mad that he would end up destroying them. So he told Moses, look, I will send my angel ahead of you, and he'll clear out the land for you. But if I go with these people, I might destroy them in the way. And what did Moses say? Look, Lord, unless you go with us, we're not going to go on from here. Because, you know, because it is your presence that makes the difference. It's your presence that sets us apart from all the nations around us. So, you know, that is something that you have to understand. That is something that you have to realize. Is that, see, even Moses, you know, in given the option for, put it in our terms, given the option for worldly success, to have everything that the world would say you should have, to have everything that the world would encourage you to have and to keep, you know, which is possessions and lands and houses and all of these different things. And God said, look, I'll give it all. I'm gonna clear out this land. You can take it all, but my presence is not going to go with you because you guys have ticked me off. And you're going to keep ticking me off, and I may end up destroying you all if I got to be with you. And Jesus, and in that situation, Moses interceded before God, and he said, Lord God, unless you go with us, we don't want to leave this place. I'm not going on from this place unless you're with me. Because it is your presence that makes the difference. It is your presence that sets us apart from all the nations around us. See, you can have everything the world says is important, but if you lack the presence of God in your life, you lack what's true and important. Because you know what? All that other stuff too, it comes and goes. One day you can be up, the next day you can be down. You know, right now in a worldly context, look at what's happened in Cyprus recently. You know, people had all their savings and all the things that they were trusting in, and you pretty much lost half of everything you had in the bank. Just gone, just like that. Now what? You think it's over? You think the world, that's it? That's the only place that kind of stuff's going to happen? No. No, 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 no. We're coming into a time where everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Everything that can be put to the test will be put to the test. And you have to understand that that's the time that you're living in. And so, you know, Jesus warned people about this. He said, look, don't store up your treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy. Store up your treasure in heaven where moth and rust don't destroy, where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, when people put their treasure into the things of this life and into the things of this world, they experience pain and loss because everything in this world is passing away. Everything in this world is temporary. Everything in this world is transitory. It all rusts. It all decays. It all falls apart. So that's why God encourages people. Look, first, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. What are these things? The things that you need. God will take care of the things that you need as you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. He'll watch out for those things. He'll take care of you. But you got to be willing to do that. And if you're not willing to do that, you're going to live in a different place. You're going to live in a place where you may have everything that the world says you should have, but the presence of God won't be there. See, you need the presence of God. That's what sets you apart as a person of God. That's what sets you apart unto his purposes. That's why the world hates the people of God, because his presence is upon them. And his presence is a daily conviction. His presence is a moment by moment conviction that there is another way, and that they've missed it. There is another way, and to go the way of darkness is to be going the way of loss, to be going the way of imperfection, to be going the way of continuous decay. You know, it's funny, because the worlders, they need to continue to prop themselves up. But here's the thing, the worlders have no power in themselves, because there's no life in the world. The world has an energy, yes, but where does that energy come from? Well, they've got to steal it, suck it from the children of God, because those are the ones with the life in them. And off of them, then they twist and turn that energy and repackage it and put it into a worldly form where they can now carry forward their agenda. Now, the worldly agenda is pretty much set up against Christ. I mean, if you think about it, why is it that they push so hard against the things of God? I mean, just, all right, look, even if you are not somebody who has yet been woken up to what the truth really is, just step back and ask yourself, why are people so opposed to Jesus? Why? Why are they so opposed to him? What is it about that name that just throws people into a fury, throws them into just absolute insanity, you know, when they're on that other side? Why do they get so angry? Because of the power in that name. Why do they get so angry at the things that God has put down? You know, why do they get so angry at the standard that God has set up? You know, I mean, for example, why is the world's agenda so strong to try to twist and turn family, to try to destroy marriage, which was something that God designed? You know, God established marriage. God established the parameters of what marriage would be. Why is it so important for people to take what that is, what God designed, and try to defile it, try to destroy it, try to make it something else? You know, you can only know the joy of what marriage is by going within the parameters of what God set for marriage. It's, you know, okay. For example, let's use some things that are a little bit more common. You can only know the benefits of healthy eating by eating healthy. You can't know the benefits of healthy eating by going to the fast food restaurant for 3 meals a day for a month and then expect to experience the benefits of healthy eating. No. Because, why? Because healthy eating is confined within the parameters of healthy food and a healthy lifestyle. Now, you know, likewise, when God established the framework, the ground for what marriage would be, when he established that, when he set that, that was the way that it would work. And when he set up the way that it would work, what that did was it set a guidelines and a parameter for a blessed life, a blessed relationship that you would share with somebody else. So now why does the world work to twist that? Why does the world work so hard to, because it's something that God set up. Obviously, when it's something that God has established, that's when the world works so hard to try to twist it and make it something else. The world doesn't care what the world establishes. You know, I mean, how many worldly, secular foundations have been set up? Nobody cares about them. Nobody cares. They do so much things to try to promote themselves. Nobody cares. They're irrelevant even before they close. Why? Because there's nothing in them. God's not in them. So therefore, because God's hand's not upon them, they matter to the extent that they can put their own energies in to self-promote themselves, but you know, God's not there. No, what the world opposes is the things that God has put His hand upon. The world opposes the things where God's Spirit is. The world opposes that which is true, that which is righteous, that which is holy, that which is marked by Him. That's what the world opposes. Because the whole agenda of the world is to try to block the light. Because when the light is seen, the darkness has to run away. The darkness flees. The darkness is always trumped by light. Light is more powerful than the darkness. So, but the darkness can only thrive in the absence of light. See, it's not light and dark are not on the same level. They're not on the same power grid. Darkness can only thrive in the absence of light. It's not either or. Because when the presence of light comes, the darkness has no choice. The darkness has to run away. The darkness has to flee. That's why when Jesus was walking around on the earth, everywhere that He went, the demons just flopped down in front of Him and started screaming and said, "Lord, why have You come here? Why are You going to torture us before the appointed time?" And they would scream out in agony. Why? Because light came into their presence and they couldn't avoid it. They couldn't do anything about it. They just had to acknowledge the truth of what was there. Even the demons cry out when they see the light and when they see the truth, because that light and that truth is undeniable, unshakable, grounded in that which is real. So what does the darkness work to do? The darkness works to make the absence of light. Because it's the darkness can't trump the light. So it's got to try to do what it can around the back rooms to try to corrupt the light and to try to make sure that there's just the absence of light. Because that is the only way that they can take their agenda forward. So it's a mixture of oppression, it's a mixture of bribery, it's a mixture of watering down the truth, it's a mixture of trying to control all the levers and all the pieces on the board as much as possible. But here's the thing, all it takes is one child of God taking God at His word, believing the promises that He has already said and spoken, and going with it. That's all it takes. Because just one, you can destroy the works of the devil. Just one. You know, Elijah was a man just like us, but he prayed. When he prayed, things changed. I mean, these people that we read about in the scriptures, they were people just like you and I. Some live pretty extravagant lives. Some live pretty pious lives. Some live pretty dramatic lives. Some live, you know, very disciplined and very plain lives. But they were people just like us. But the difference was the Spirit of God was upon them. And they followed Him. And their lives following Him made an incredible difference. Shook nations, established truth, and God used it for His purposes to set the stage for the day that you and I now live in. See, you and I now live in a day and an age where these things are happening, these things are coming to pass, these things are taking place, and there is a role for you and I to play in this day according to the plan and purposes of God. There's a role that we have to play. But you won't fulfill that role by trying to save your life in this world. You won't fulfill that role by trying to be something in this world. Whatever you are in the eyes of this world, let that be determined by the Spirit of God. Let Him decide what that is, and let it be just that. Don't try to gain position in the eyes of the world. Don't try to establish yourself there. Don't try to set yourself up there, because it really doesn't matter. All the awards and the accolades the world has ever given are forgotten quickly. Quickly. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. You tell me about the awards that were given 100 years ago to the best the world had to offer. Nobody cares. This day, nobody cares. All the things that people think are so important matter not one bit. That's why the angels in heaven actually laugh at so much of the stuff that people think is important. Because they know, they see things from the eternal perspective. And they know that there's nothing in those. So when people are all stressed out about their personal stuff, they miss what's important. Mary and Martha. Martha in the kitchen, running around, scrambling. Lord God, oh Jesus, tell Mary to get up. Tell her to help me. Jesus said to her, look, Martha, Martha, you're worried and perplexed about many things. But Mary's chosen the better thing and won't be taken from her. Look, Mary had chosen to put herself and her thoughts and her heart into that which was eternal, that which would last, that which was part of what God was doing at that time. And Martha was all perplexed about serving. Martha was all perplexed about serving and taking care of all the things that needed to be done. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And let everybody else help in the kitchen afterwards. Let everybody else get together and do what needs to be done. But first things first. Put the kingdom first. Put truth first. Put the Spirit of God first. Put righteousness first. Put that which God has placed as a priority for your life and the person that you should be in Him. Let that go first. Choose to walk with Him. Choose truth. And in that choice, God will honor that choice. God will establish people in that choice. You know, there is free will involved. You know, everybody understands that. In the world, as well as in the kingdom of God, they understand that there's free will involved. See, that's also part of the reason why there is light and dark existing simultaneously in this dimension. It's because there's choice involved. And you, as a free will agent, needed to be placed in a dimension where you could choose. Where you could see light, where you could see dark, where you could see the ramifications of choices made under both, and you could make a decision and go with it. And both God and the enemy of your soul, the devil, would see that and would respect it and let you go forward with that choice that you would make. But, you know, you had to make that decision. And that's why you also had to be given a place where you could do that. See, otherwise, what you end up with is, say it was all light, or it was all dark. Well, if that was the case, your choice would be already made for you. No, God wanted you to be able to make a choice. God wanted you to be able to make a decision. He wanted you to be able to go with it. And so you have to be put in a place where that would be offered and you could make decision and choice and live with the eternal consequences of those choices. See, this life, we had to have this. We had to have, you know, that's why too, sometimes, you know, people have wondered and they've been like, you know, oh, how could God allow this and this and this to be taking place? And how could God allow this and this to happen? Look, in these things existing in this dimension. Look, all right, first of all, nobody gets away with anything. At the end of this life, all things will be settled, all things will be brought to account. Every leader of this world in the current paradigm, everything they've ever done, every backroom conversation, every thing they've ever said, every decision they've ever made, all of it will be laid bare for all eternity for everybody. So, don't worry about it. God will bring all that stuff to account, and they will be judged accordingly, righteously. No judgment can be twisted or turned. No leverage can be made over the living God. No twisting of justice. No, nothing. At that stage, at that point, all of it is brought to account, and everyone pays. And either your life has been paid for by the blood of Jesus, and you've been made right with Him, or you haven't. And if you haven't, you're going to have an eternity to realize the consequence for your choice and your action. So, you know, I mean, the power of God is sufficient. The blood of Jesus is enough to set you free from the eternal consequence of your actions and your choices. But you've got to turn your life over to Him. He has to become Lord. And that's a free will choice. And if you don't choose that, you're left having to pay the price for your own sins. You're left having to pay the price for your own decisions, for your own choices. Man chooses that. So people don't get mad when people choose a reality that's separate from the King of Kings for all eternity. Because people have made that choice for themselves. You choose it, you receive it. You receive the consequence of your choices. At the same time, life is available right now. Truth is available right now. His Spirit desires that you would have abundant life this day. Today is the day of salvation. So, rather than living a substandard life and just trying to make it, why not seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and allow Him to establish all things according to His plan and purpose in your life this day? Why not? What's holding you back? What's so scary? What? Do you think that He won't feed you? Do you think that He won't take care of you? Do you think that He won't watch out for you? Do you think that He won't protect you? You know, the early church, you can read the stories, the early church, when they would get beat up for the gospel and for the truth, they would leave those situations praising God, thanking God, worshiping God. And why is that? Why is that? Why did they go through so much joy whenever they got roughed up for the gospel? Something else was going on inside of them. They knew the joy and the hope that they now had. They knew what it was. And nothing could steal that from them. Nothing could steal that from them. See, when you know the hope of what you have in Christ Jesus, nothing in this world is going to ever be that important to you and is ever going to trump that. You only want Him. You only want truth. You only want the reality of what God has spoken and what He has ordained for your life. Nothing less. And when you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, that's when you find it. When you seek Him with all of your heart, that's when you receive it. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. So man's way will kill you. That's why Proverbs 3 says, in all your ways acknowledge the Lord, and He shall direct your path. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. You know, God has given us the way. And His way is life and peace. And in that way, and in that name, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In that way, in that name, in that truth, I bless you. I bless you in the name of Jesus. And I just tell you, brothers and sisters, keep on keeping on. Don't worry about anything. God's got everything under control. With that, hey, love you guys. God bless you. drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you guys. Shout out to our brother that dropped a mail from California recently. Glad to know that you're listening in, brother. We won't say people's names specifically for the most part but we just want to let you know that we appreciate you. And keep on keeping on, man. Don't worry about anything. You're in the right spot. All right, hey. So drop us an email, say hi, or also you can find us on our Facebook page, Faith Mix, one word. Find us on Facebook, say hi. All right, hey, God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye.